Welcome to Mission Eyes with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Good morning and welcome to Mission Eyes. I'm Sam Roberts. Along with me is Clint Ritchie, our co-host. And this morning we are recording on site at New Life Baptist Church in Alexander, the host of the Evangelism Conference for 2024 for Arkansas Baptist. And we have as our guest this morning John Mark Clifton. Mark serves as the Senior Director of Replanting with the North American Mission Board. He's been involved in replanting and church revitalization since 1978. We're going to put a little
I'm old, Mark.
He is also the co-host of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, which is in the top 5% of podcasts on religion and spirituality. And many of our Arkansas Baptist pastors know him for Mondays with Mark on Facebook. Mark, welcome to Arkansas.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here.
Well, and I'll save you the math. I was 18. I was a freshman in college, and there was a church that got started off campus, and I became their pastor. So that was 1978, so you can figure the math out there.
But oh, wonderful.
That's where that came from, yeah.
Well,
hey, it's great to be with you here in beautiful Arkansas. I live in Kansas. So not that far away.
No,
we up there along the Arkansas River is where we are. So we're good with that.
Yeah, we church I pastored prior to coming here to the state convention, we had a partnership with the church in Wichita.
Yeah.
And we were going over the Arkansas River.
Uh-huh.
And one of the guys said, no, that's called the Arkansas
River.
That's right. Hey, we're going to jump right in because our time is limited this morning with our evangelism conference, and Mark is one of our keynote speakers today and doing a workshop this morning for Arkansas Baptist. So Mark, as we talk about the state of the church, you've just added an incredible voice to this discussion on the podcast and Mondays with Mark and your social media post. There are a couple of terms that I want us to define early on. We talk about church replanting and church revitalization. So how are those two terms related? Are they synonymous?
No, they're really not synonymous. They are sort of, if you have a Venn diagram, there's certainly some overlap, right? But when you think of a church that's needing replanting, that's a church that if everything continues on its current trajectory, within 3 years to 5 years, they're going to be underwater, right? So gotcha. If you just map it out and say, here's our giving, here's our attendance, here's our membership, here's our baptisms, here's our expenses, and if we just simply graph it out and say, if this trend continues, we're going to be underwater in 3 or 5 years, doesn't mean they'll be out of business, because a lot of those dying churches have put money away.
Exactly.
And they've got some pretty significant savings that they can live off of for a long, long time. But we call that life support. They're not really living off of what's happening right now. And so that church is a candidate for replanting. There needs to be some drastic changes made systemically. Revitalization is a church that's just on a downward trend, but it's not in danger of closing the next 3 to 5 years. And so they can make some smaller adjustments, but over a long period of time, it would make a greater difference. It's just that the replant doesn't have that much time, or it's in such dire conditions that the systemic changes that need to be made are pretty drastic, and small incremental changes at this point probably wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Now, again, it's not a real clear line, but it's mm-hmm. there's some area in between that's maybe a little both and, but that's generally what we talk about.
And what are those major metrics that a pastor, church leadership should be graphing? You mentioned
sure. You need to look. Well, you need to look at what is the age of our congregation. Not that there's anything wrong with old people. I love old people. I am one. But I'm one flu season from heaven. So if 70% of your congregation's above the age of 80, or even above the age of 70, what's going to happen in 10 or 15 years? I mean, you have to think about that. So you have to look at where is the next generation. You also have to look at where is are we seeing any conversion growth or even any transfer growth? And a lot of times your funerals outnumber your transfer growth. It's really just that simple. And maybe you don't see it this week or next week, but if you say, what if this trend continues over 4 or 5 years, where are we going to be? Most churches, they don't wake up one morning and everything's changed. It's changed over a period of years. And the change has been somewhat slow. But then they wake up one day and say, now, wait a minute, we're in a crisis here. We really have, as Dr. Rainer says, we've sort of reached a death spiral. There comes a place, it's different for every congregation, where it sort of falls off the table. And you realize it's going to be really hard to bring this back now. We've got such downward momentum. We have no children. We have basically no youth. We really have no young people. And the needs of these older folks, they're great. When people grow older, they have a lot of physical needs, emotional needs. Their spouses are passing away. Their children have moved away. And that's an opportunity to minister, but that takes a lot of bandwidth of the pastor. So he finds himself doing a lot of pastoral care with older adults when you're not reaching the next generation and the young people and then people in the community.
Speaking of community, is it safe to say most or a lot of the time when you see a need for revitalization or for sure replanting that the church has neglected its community?
Neglect is one word. I might say the church just doesn't know how to connect to the community anymore. I think if it was 30 years ago, they were probably doing a good job of connecting, but the community has drastically changed. People's worldview has changed. Even maybe their language and their ethnicity and their background has all changed. And while the remaining members would like to connect with them, they don't really know how. And so rather than trying to learn how or doing all the work it would take to do that, they just sort of don't do that. And they just sort of turn in on themselves and just take care of themselves. As I said, because as you grow older, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, to remember the Lord in the days of your youth before the evil days come. And then he says, the evil days, you wake at the sound of a bird. That's old people. We can't sleep in anymore. You tremble at heights. You're afraid of falling. The windows grow dim. Your eyes grow dim. In other words, the writer of Ecclesiastes is explaining old age. Old age is not easy on people. So if you've got a church where everyone's growing older, there's a lot of, as I said, a lot of needs there. And it's difficult for those churches to say, we got to set our needs sort of aside. And here's all these new people in this community that aren't like us, that don't understand us, and we don't understand them. We've got to invest in them. And that's just a challenge for a lot of dying churches to do. And so many of them simply don't do it. And sometimes they just say, well, there's a new church in town, and they'll reach those people. And they sort of leave it up to them.
Mark, looking at that, with that need of revitalization that we see so prevalent in our churches, and this is indicative of churches in Arkansas through our state convention and across the Southern Baptist Convention. We know that. What percentage or what have you done some study there on those demographics that you would say SBC churches in need of revitalization?
Well, it sort of depends on what you think revitalization means and what they need. But can we just say that, 90% of our churches are in need of some help in that regard. Our communities are no longer stagnant. They're dynamic. They're always changing. There are different people moving in. Demographics are changing. Even in rural America, and I lead the rural strategy team at NAM, and for the first time in many, many decades, rural America is growing in population. But it's not growing with rural people. It's growing with urban people moving to the rural fringe. Well, that changes the context of rural America. And so the people who move in are different in their worldview and their mindset and their politics than maybe those of us who already live here. And so the challenge is, how do we embrace them? How are we grateful that God has brought them here? How do we really do the work of learning who they are and how we can connect to them? Or do we just say, man, it's great to have our church where we know each other and care for each other in this world that seems so foreign now. What a great place for us to hang out together. And when we start doing that, then we're going to see our church in decline.
So let's just say that one of the pastors, Arkansas Baptist State Convention, church leadership get together. They understand there's something here that needs to change. And they see this change in their community,
right,
with people moving in who are different. Mm-hmm. You know, these folks are coming from California,
right,
or New York or other metropolitan areas just to get away,
right,
from all that. And rural life is appealing to them.
Right.
And this church really knows we need to do something here to reach these people. We need to do something to revitalize the church. What would you say are a couple of practical steps where they can begin this process of re-engaging the community?
Right. Well, if you're in a rural area, and people always say this to me, we don't have a neighborhood around our church. You know, everything you do, you talk about, do this in your neighborhood. I pastored in a rural area. I pastored an open country church with a cemetery next to it. So I know what that's like. But in a rural area, if you've got some new people moving in from other parts of the country, and that is happening because of being able to work remotely and even be able to shop remotely. I mean, people used to not want to move to a rural area because where would I shop? Well, you shop on Amazon. You get whatever you want. So people, they can live anywhere now. So they do. And but yet, you're right. Many of these people are coming from places that are very different. And they're what we discovered is, and this is true, by the way, and let's say you're, because I've served in an urban area that was in a relatively wealthy, upscale community. And you think, well, how do you reach people in those more wealthy, upscale communities? They don't have, you know, they don't need anything. They don't need food. They don't need clothes. Their kids don't need a block party. They got all kinds of things they go to. They go to private schools. Or how do we reach people in a rural community? They're moving in from California or from someplace else. Well, I think one of the things you can understand is both of those groups want to make a – they want their life to make a difference. They want to have purpose. So what I would suggest is you figure out some way to work with some Southern Baptist missions in Africa or in other parts of the world that are really in great need. And you let the community know, look, we're raising money or we're raising support or we're trying to help these missionaries who are working with children in Ethiopia. Would you like to be a part of that? And my experience was that even people who didn't want to come to your church, even people who didn't believe in the gospel, they would say, yeah, I want to be part of making the world a better place. So we would have these opportunities where we could say, would you like to contribute and be part of this? Come to our church, learn how we're helping orphans in Ethiopia and how you could be a part of that. Then that was a way to begin to connect. I hope that makes some sense.
Yes.
And so that's a way to connect to people who maybe don't have the physical needs we think of, but have spiritual needs, but it's a first place to connect. So that's what I would say, even in a rural area. I don't mean to talk the whole time, but when I was pastoring that church up in North Missouri in the open country, as about 50% of our neighborhood was Amish, so it was already cut in half how many people we could probably get to. We were called Gentiles. They called us the English. That's what they called us. We were called the English. And but there was, in Kansas City was about an hour and a half away, and there was a homeless ministry in Kansas City that was giving men opportunity to learn trades, to learn jobs, to get off the street. And so what we did is we simply said, hey, we want to help those people. So if you would like, guys, you live up here on these farms, even though you don't come to our church, if you want to meet us, we're going to drive down to Kansas City. We're going to work with some of the guys and help them learn how to fix lawnmowers and do things like that. So men who would never come to our church because they were raised Methodist or they were raised Catholic and they're not going to come to a Baptist church, they would be willing to go to the city for one day and help us work with some of these homeless men. And we got to connect to them that way, if that makes sense. So you can find ways to connect to people's desire to make the world a better place, because that's what Christians should do, and they'll join you in that activity.
Awesome.
Yeah, so as we think about, I mean, basically what you just shared with us was a mission strategy.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Use that role.
Right.
You know, with a guy sitting there going, man, I'd like to get something started like this, or here I am in a rural area, I think I'm kind of all by myself.
Right.
What role does mission strategy as a whole play in revitalization?
It's everything. It really is. And guys, you really need to reach out, and not just because I'm here in this podcast, but reach out to your state convention, because they're the ones that can connect you to these kinds of opportunities. You could just call your state convention and say, look, what could we do internationally? I want to do something specific through the IMB. I want to adopt a people group. Your state convention can direct you to that. Or you could say, is there an urban ministry that we could connect to? So even though I'm way out here in Southwest Arkansas, is there something I could do in an urban setting in West Memphis or someplace like that? Could you connect me to that so I could help our community realize we're going to help kids in West Memphis? That's the way. That's why it's so important to be part of a Southern Baptist family, because we have all these great relationships, and you need to lean into those, and they will be very important to you, and these guys want to help you accomplish that in your church. So when you think of mission strategy, think bigger maybe than you've been thinking right now, and think about these state convention partners.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for that, Mark. And I do want to remind our listeners, there are a lot of resources that are available at absc.org/missions. That'll take you right to our page with the missions team. And when you get there, take a look at partnership missions. We have a lot of plug-and-play type of opportunities just for our churches, maybe those that are coming out of COVID, you know, that once were actively engaged in missions, whether it's in their community or nationally through NAM or IMB, but COVID kind of put a halt to a lot of that, and they're just starting to get the gears rolling again. So take a look there. We've got some opportunities, not only in the Delta of Arkansas,
there
as Clint leads that particular emphasis, but through NAM, through IMB, through Sin Cities, and we would love to have the opportunity of talking with our pastors and church leaders.
I can't emphasize this enough. That's why people are into all kinds of social justice issues and things like that. People who are not even believers, maybe even opposed to the church, they want to feel like their life matters. They want to feel like they have a purpose. And so if you'll just work with your state convention through all these ministries they have and partner with some of these ministries and then communicate to your community as a whole, you don't have to be part of our church to help us serve these issues, these needs. And you'll be surprised how people will join you in that activity. And that's a connecting point that you wouldn't have otherwise. In other words, when it comes to revitalization, don't think that the success is getting them in your Sunday morning service. Success is you getting in their lives somewhere and connecting
awesome.
With them. That's
great.
Where it begins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
And I would say too, we've seen a lot of our churches, adopt a people group to pray for.
Right.
And that has really, expanded everybody's eyes to what the needs are globally, but also how God is working to the ends of the earth and how He's sending people. And, I would also plug that on our website as well.
And when you begin praying for a people group or you begin praying for your community,
right,
then God begins to work within within your life, within the life of the church, and sends you into the community, sends you to that people group. So prayer is that. It's a vital part of this whole strategy.
And at the risk of being redundant, and I'm always redundant, when I was in the wealthier neighborhood in Kansas City, we had some high schools that needed some sporting equipment. They needed cleats for their football team. They needed Under Armour for the football team. And so we found out what they needed, and we just literally went door to door in this really expensive neighborhood and said, look, we are in charge of raising support for Southwest High School in Kansas City. These boys, they can't play football unless they have football cleats. Would you like to help us do that? And these people said, we'd be glad to do that. We would be glad to do that. So you let them do that, and you keep them informed on what's going on with the football team, and it changes their view of who the church is, and it gives you a connection to them. And I could go on and on about how those ways, you just have to kind of think outside the box and think, how can I get connected to people in my community?
Amen.
So as we begin to wrap up here, so we got somebody listening that's in one of the 10% churches, in a healthy church,
right,
or in church where the Lord is really blessed. How can that church partner with the church that's in the process of revitalization or maybe needing to begin the process?
Well, that's a great question. The first thing I would have you do is reach out to some of these churches in your community that are hurting and just say, look, we just want to pray for you. And I would suggest that maybe every Sunday morning you have a moment in your service where you pray for a different church in your region by name. So let that church know. We pray every Sunday morning for one church other than our own, and we'd like to pray for you. And how can we do that? And then how can we help you even sort of maybe help you with some of the capital needs you might have in your building and your facility? How can we help you? It's just things that need attention, because a lot of times those buildings need that kind of attention. So I think just reaching out and saying, we want to, you will help us as a larger church if you say to these smaller churches, you will actually help us because we need places to serve. And we would love to come and serve alongside you in some way. But begin with a prayer relationship. Also, and this is important, man, if you've got small groups in your larger church, it would be great if maybe one of those small groups would adopt a pastor and his wife from each one of these difficult, challenging churches. Find out what that pastor and wife anniversary is, birthday is. Give them some date nights. Babysit their kids so that pastor and his wife feel like there's a small group at that large church that loves my wife, loves me, takes care of us. That's a great entry point to finding some ways to partner, rather than, hey, we want to come take you over. That's often what they think.
Exactly.
So start with maybe having one of your small groups sort of adopt a pastor and his wife from each of these struggling churches, just to pray for them, support them, give them gift cards on their birthdays and anniversaries, give them date nights, those kinds of things.
Awesome.
Wow, that's
hey,
great.
Mark, we could talk all morning long. I know that you have a session you have to go to, so thank you for being with us today on Mission Eyes. As we leave, I know that some Arkansas Baptists, this may be Econ may be the first time that they get to hear you, and they may be unfamiliar with your podcast or other ways they can connect with you. Would you just take a moment and tell them where they can find you on social?
Yeah, just go to revitalizeandreplant.com, or you can find Revitalize and Replant on all your podcast platforms. And our website is churchreplanters.com. So just those two places.
That'll awesome.
Be it. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, brother. That concludes this session of Mission Eyes. We hope that you have a great day.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas Missions, visit absc.org/missions.